Intelligence Weekly, where we dive into the details of a mini political revolution's elections. I'm your host, Alvin, and as promised, this week we'll be talking about the recently ended Welsh parliamentary elections. Now, if you remember the episode that I did last week, or if you didn't tune into the episode last week, basically, you know, I was talking about the Scottish elections, but at the same time that was happening, there was also another British region which also had an election, and that's Wales. So basically what we had here is two major regions having their own particular elections, and you know, the results of which could have interesting implications for what's going to happen going forward. Now, unlike the notorious, infamous, famous Scottish Parliament, the Welsh Parliament is somewhat more low-key. It's less known to people outside of the UK, and you know, in terms of like what it has been able to do, in terms of what it has done, hasn't really done much in terms of, you know, creating a constitutional or a national crisis in the same way that the SNP has been doing with the Scottish Parliament. So, you know, the Welsh Parliament, or the Senedd Cymru, as it's known in Welsh, so their history is actually pretty similar to the Scottish Parliament up in Scotland. So basically, you know, same thing, they had a referendum at around the same time in 1997, and they've established it in 1999, and, you know, basically since then, they have had the same devolved power as the Parliament in Scotland, but of course, you know, in this case, it's for Wales. Now, what's interesting about the Welsh Parliament, you know, in terms of historical precedent, is that whereas, you know, Scotland has always had relative autonomy in relation to England, you know, being that the United Kingdom is a union between the Kingdom of England and Scotland, Wales, on the other hand, has, you know, it's a very different relationship to England in that, you know, Wales is an occupied territory. Essentially, Wales was annexed by Henry VIII in, like, 16-something. So, basically, when that happened, Welsh independence stopped being a thing. And Welsh independence, or some form of independence, only ended up being a thing after the establishment of the Welsh Parliament. So, what the Welsh Parliament basically did was basically end essentially 400 years of direct English occupation of Wales. So that's pretty interesting. But anyways, going back to the subject. So what does the body look like? So this body is, you know, unicameral again, only the one parliament and, you know, no upper house, and it has about 60 seats. So 60 seats, and at the same time as well, it's also a mixed system like the Scottish Parliament. So, you know, with 60 seats, of course, then you would need 31 for an absolute majority. And the way these seats are chosen is that 40 members of the parliament will be chosen in a first-past-the-post system, and 20 members of the Senate will be chosen in a proportional representation, you know, system with 5 electoral regions all around Wales. Now, when I just said Senate, I do not mean the Senate, the S-E-N-A-T-E Senate. This is the Welsh way of saying it, which is S-E-N-E-D-D. So that's the Senate. Hence, you know, Senate in Senedd Cymru. So they're M-S's from here on out. Anyways, so and like I said earlier, you know, like this parliament has power essentially over Welsh domestic policy and domestic matters. You know, most importantly, of course, you know, the COVID measures that, you know, that Wales has had throughout this whole pandemic. So just, you know, which is interesting, and that'll actually play a big factor, and I'll tell you why later on. So, what does this parliament actually look like? You know, who forms the government, and who has formed the government all these years? So, basically, the current government in Wales is a Labour government. Now, that's interesting, because, you know, like I said, you know, like Labour, as I said last week, you know, Labour has been on, like, this decline, you know, nationally, all around the UK, but, you know, in Wales, they, you know, they seem to be prosperous. They seem to be thriving, even. So, you know, Labour has about 29 seats, and like I said earlier, you need 31 for a majority, so how they've been able to do it is the Lib Dems have one seat, so they rely on them for that, and there's an independent MS who also has one seat, so hence 31. Now, the opposition, no coalition, is the Plaid Cymru at 12. So the Plaid Cymru is essentially, imagine a Welsh SNP. So whereas the SNP, you know, the Scottish National Party, fights for Scottish interests, the Plaid Cymru fights for Welsh interests. So they're at 12, the Conservatives at 11, and other parties at 6. Now, these other parties is actually kind of quite interesting because there are some very, you know, like colorful parties. So like UKIP, if you've heard of UKIP, you know, the UKIP was famous for spearheading the Brexit campaign, you know, like throughout the UK. And, you know, well, then I guess they've been successful in that part. And at the same time, UKIP, surprisingly, used to hold a majority of seats in the European Parliament. Now, of course, you know, the UK is no longer part of the EU, so they're not in there anymore. But when they were in there. And there's also another interesting party named Abolish the Welsh Parliament Party. That's literally the name, Abolish the Welsh Parliament Party. And if you're wondering what they stand for, well, they essentially stand for abolishing the Welsh Parliament. Duh. So they have one seat. That's kind of interesting. Now, if you're wondering how all these weird, colorful parties were actually able to even go into the parliament in the first place, well, interestingly enough, you know, like the Welsh parliamentary elections and just like the Welsh parliament in general, you know, like all the elections for them tend to have a very low turnout rate. Now, you know, like how low? Well, like, I mean, like American elections have higher turnout, but it's about 40%, if you're wondering. So that's abysmal. So it's talking about turnout. That's not even half of Wales essentially turning up to vote for their own parliament, who, you know, ostensibly has a lot of jurisdiction, a lot of power over their lives. So because not a lot of people vote in this election, more colorful parties are actually able to rise to the top because these small, you know, interesting, small, weird parties actually have somewhat of a passionate base of support. So because they do have that base of support, these people would actually go out and vote, and normal people just wouldn't. So because that, the normal party, quote-unquote normal parties, don't, you know, rise to the occasion, and, you know, the weirder, the more fringe parties are able to take advantage of that. So that's how, you know, these weird parties have, like, been able to go in. And that's the same reason why the European Parliament for, you know, the UK, at least when they were there, was filled by UKIP and the Brexit Party. Because people just don't bother to vote in these elections, so more colorful characters are able to rise to the top because at least they have some passionate base of support. A very little base, but enough of a base that where, you know, where when they actually vote, they can actually win because nobody else votes. Basically, that's what it is. Anyways, moving on. Now we're talking about issues that are in this particular election. So, you know, what are the main issues? What are the main events, you know, like deciding how people voted in the end, essentially? So COVID, you know, of course. So it's basically mostly a COVID election, but unlike, you know, the more bombastic Scottish elections, would recommend you check out the episode, by the way. So unlike that election, you know, we don't have an independence issue. We don't have an issue of, you know, of like a national scale, of like a national crisis. And, you know, in terms of like how Brexit plays into it, well, you know, Wales voted pretty much with England in that they would mostly like to leave the EU as well. So there's not that issue as well. So essentially what I'm saying is there's not really much of anything going on. And what ultimately was the biggest factor was the COVID pandemic. And, you know, which is how the Labour, you know, government has been handling it. I think they've been handling it relatively well. Now, of course, Wales earlier on actually had, you know, a really big, you know, like surge in cases. But I think over time, you know, they've actually been able to, you know, like bring it down. So I think that's why, you know, like Labour had a strong position going into this particular election. But of course, you know, even though it is mostly a COVID election, there are still underlying issues within Wales itself. Whether or not these will become more salient issues in the future, we'll just have to find out. But anyways, so what are these underlying issues and how effective were they at affecting the vote? So the first issue is Welsh independence. So based on a recent poll, essentially 14% of Wales wants to be independent. So compared to the 55% of Scottish voters that like to be independent, this is nowhere close to being salient. But it's there, you know, like there is a faction, you know, in Wales supporting, you know, Welsh nationalism. And, you know, like at the same time, you know, like with Brexit, you know, like there's not a push like in Scotland, whereas, you know, like in Scotland, basically, Brexit became a push for independence. In Wales, because they largely voted with England, there's not that much of a push. There's not much of a stimulus, much of a reason for people to reconsider their choices on independence. So it's purely a sentimental thing. It's purely, you know, Welsh pride, which is, you know, not enough to create a legitimate movement for independence, essentially. Now, you know, that's where, you know, parties like Plaid Cymru comes in, because, you know, they're probably a party who would be the closest to, like, an SNP, to a party that would endorse independence. But, you know, at the moment, you know, as you can see from the seats that they have, they're not, like, a dominant force nationally, and they're not a dominant force in Wales. At least not as big as they could be, and, like, not as big as they need to be in order to actually force a referendum, to force the issue, essentially. And another salient issue, well, debatable, but another issue is the abolishing of the Senate, the abolishing of the Welsh Parliament. Hence, you know, when I was telling you earlier about the party, about the abolish the Welsh Parliament party, yeah, this is, they're basically one of the main representatives for that segment of the Welsh population. So about 15% of people, like I said, wants the Welsh Parliament to be abolished. Why? Well, because they don't really see it as being effective. They don't really, you know, see it as, you know, like having any impact in their life. It's just kind of like waste money. It moves them away from Westminster. It slows down, you know, the passing of policy, and especially in COVID, you know, the passing of vital policy, because if everything has to go through them and then Westminster instead of just having the same policies as England, for example, well, then, you know, then basically the COVID response wouldn't be as fast. And I think this really was the case earlier on. And earlier on, you know, like people saw the really slow, relatively slow response to COVID, and how ultimately, you know, like, so people thought, you know, like if we were just part of Westminster, if we were part of England, not really part of, but like, you know, if we had the same policies as England, hence no parliament, well, then we could probably, you know, pass these policies, these restrictions a lot quicker, get, you know, the care that we need, things like that. So that's why some people support abolishing the parliament. So it's not like Scotland, you know, like the Scottish people who fully support the parliament. In Wales, I think the parliament is more of a touchy subject. It's like, it's a very debatable, its very existence is debatable. So that's interesting as well. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see in the future whether or not, you know, like more autonomy or less autonomy or no autonomy wins out. So, but, you know, I said 14% want independence, 15% want to abolish the Senate, but, you know, I'm leaving out a lot of people here. So what do the rest of the people want? Well, they just prefer the status quo. They don't really, you know, they see it as a compromise position. They don't, like, they don't really see a need to make big changes into their current circumstances, because their current circumstances, well, for them, it's, you know, it's pretty amicable. It's fine, you know. I mean, like, a lot of people don't really vote in the parliamentary elections, but, you know, they don't really see the parliament's existence as being, you know, fundamentally, you know, like, disruptive to their lives, or, you know, they don't really feel the need to, like, further distance themselves from England, you know, so then there's not really a big movement in either direction. So, before we go to the actual results, what are the polls? What do the polls actually say? So, in the polls, you know, like I said, you know, with Labour, they would get the most seats, but they would lose 3 seats. So, you know, at 26. Now, of course, I think this poll might have been taken earlier on before they actually, like, rebounded, but, you know, with this poll, let's just say yes, so they'll get about 26 seats, and the Lib Dems will retain their 1 seat, so now they'll have 27. So, you know, like, when I was looking at this, I was thinking, you know, how are they going to form the government being 4 seats short? So, okay, then that's fine. But then, you know, we have VC Conservatives getting 14, which is, of course, you know, increased by 3 from their 11, and Plaid Cymru, interesting, getting 17. So the polls showed, actually, a big, you know, like, surge in Conservative voters, and especially Plaid Cymru voters. So, based on this, you know, we could see, you know, it's either an anti-incumbency factor, or it's either, you know, maybe Welsh nationalism is beginning to become a thing. But I think I lean more on, like, the former, where it's just, like, anti-incumbency, based on what the polls are saying. And, you know, there's even, you know, like, the polls also said that, you know, to abolish the Welsh Assembly Party would even grow by 1 seat. So now they'll get 2 seats. So ultimately, you know, like, I wasn't sure how the government was going to be formed. But luckily, the results deviated quite a bit, actually, from what the polls were saying. Especially in regards to Labour's, you know, like, whole position in the parliament, in the government, essentially. Because, like I said, you know, Labour has been in decline nationally, you know, like, so, they've lost a lot of municipal seats. They've lost some seats in the Scottish Parliament. They've lost a lot of seats in the election 2 years back. So, you know, so they're not in a good shape to do anything, but they surprised us. So basically what Labour ultimately was able to do actually is to increase their majority, is to increase their seat share to 30. So they've added one seat, but 30 ain't gonna cut it. You need one more seat, 31. So, you know, what's likely gonna happen is they might, you know, like, again, do a coalition with the Lib Dems. So Lib Dems, of course, you know, staying only at one seat. So that's basically what the government is likely to look like. So, and of course, you know, this is like the first time in the history of the Senate, actually, interestingly enough, that any party is able to get this many seats, 30 seats, you know, like basically half of the whole Senate. And conservatives, you know, like I said, they were initially predicted to get 3 seats. Well, they got 5. So they're now at 16. So that's interesting, actually. So this is a big, big conservative leap. And this is actually, you know, well, again, with the Senate's relatively short history, it's the biggest leap that we've ever seen of any party. So, of course, you know, like the Labour, of course, won in that they were able to retain power, but the Conservatives also won big here. So they've got 5 seats, basically, extra. And it'll be interesting to see if they could even, like, go for the jugular next time around and actually maybe even take over the government. We'll just have to see. And, of course, Plaid Cymru initially expected to get loads of seats. Well, they've kind of underperformed the polls, and they've only gotten 1 extra seat. So now they're at 13. So, wait, sorry, 2 extra seats, and now they're at 13. So that's, you know, that's not as big as a performance that they were predicted to have. But, you know, like, they persevere. They're fine. They're growing. You know, it's fine. Now, what's interesting is, you know, with all these increases, you know, of course, besides the Lib Dems, but with all these increases, what's interesting actually is that, you know, like, where are they getting these votes from? Well, it's basically essentially a rise for the mainstream parties, but a decline for all the weird fringe parties. And, you know, like when I said earlier, you know, this is probably mostly due to, you know, like low voter turnout that fringe parties are actually able to get into the Senate. But yeah, and I'm basically proven correct in this case, because voter turnout was actually up this election, the highest it's ever been. Although the highest it's ever been is about 46%, it's still the highest it's ever been. So you see what I mean? The higher the voter turnout, the more likely these mainstream parties are likely to rise to prominence. So that's essentially what we saw here, you know, like Labour, Conservatives, Plaid Cymru, you know, of course, in the case of Wales. And, you know, they were able to take advantage of this increased voter turnout, essentially, and was able to get more seats. Whereas the fringe parties, UKIP, you know, like Abolish the Senate Party, Abolish the Welsh Parliament Party, they're gone, basically. So it's interesting. It's interesting to see that actually happened, that, you know, that we saw a mainstreaming of the Welsh Parliament. And if people do end up keep voting, if turnout does keep increasing, well, then we'll likely just see a better representation, definitely, of, you know, like Wales and government that, you know, that's supposed to represent the people. But then also, you know, we won't really see much of a, you know, like, of a fringe party fest, which is unfortunate for me, but it's great that, you know, we're going to see more solid governing coalitions. Anyways, so, you know, like, if you remember last week what I said, you know, like, case of Scotland, you know, we saw a big, big disparity between regional and constituency votes, but in Wales, you know, we don't actually see that. It's actually not the case that actually happened, because, you know, most of the parties, you know, they've gotten pretty consistent. So if, you know, so if Labour got, you know, like 50% of the votes that were cast, then they would more or less get the 50% of the regional vote. And just like, it's kind of just like that, you know, so it's like it all aligns perfectly. And so like there wasn't like a big, big gap in terms of that. And, you know, like I said, smaller parties are all out, and governing coalition would just be probably Labour and Lib Dem. So that one independent candidate, I guess, will lost his or her seat. And, you know, I guess, you know, like I said, you know, ultimately, I think what really won this for Labour is not so much the National Labour Party, but it was actually their perfectly effective handling of COVID in Wales itself. So I don't have the guy's name right now, but it's basically So he was the leader of labor in Wales, and he handled COVID really well. So, so props to him. It's like that basically people voted for him, not so much for, labor nationally, because labor nationally right now is a mess. So people voted for him and his effective handling of COVID. And so he's probably likely to return as first minister. And of course, ultimately, like with Wales, I definitely like to see a high, much higher turnout, because then, the parliament can actually do stuff. But anyways, this is a much smaller election, much less covered than the Scottish election, which has more implications, about the rest of the to the rest of the UK. But it's still interesting nevertheless, to actually see what's going on over there. So anyways, now that we have all that done, what we're gonna do next week, or 2 weeks from now, whichever one comes first, I'm not sure. So you'll have to stay tuned for that. But don't worry, I'll definitely upload something interesting. It's gonna be a really interesting year overall. So you wouldn't want to miss that. So if you're on Spotify, follow the podcast. Any other podcast platforms, follow the podcast. You're on YouTube, comment, like, and subscribe. Post a comment or two. Really helps. So, anyways, now that I've got that done, see you next week.